Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Holiness Helpers, sponsored by the Pro-Sanctity. My name is Father Carl Zuha. Welcome. Good morning, everyone, along with
Teresa Monahan from Pro-Sanctity.
And welcome, and Merry Christmas to everyone. We can say it now, say it bold, and we have been saying it. And hopefully everyone had a blessed and a beautiful Christmas. And our post-Christmas show, here we are to speak about Jesus coming into the world, the Incarnation.
Wonderful. I love to reflect and meditate on the Incarnation, which means God who became flesh and dwelt among us. Father, could you start us in a prayer?
And how about the Angelus, the wonderful prayer of the Incarnation? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary,
and she conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord.
Be it done unto me according to your will.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word became flesh,
and dwelt among us.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God,
that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
And let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the Incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father. Now tell me, what does this word incarnation mean, and what does it have to do with Christmas?
Well, it certainly was, it actually had to do with about 9 months before Christmas at the Annunciation, when what the dialogue that we just prayed from Scripture, the angel Gabriel coming to Mary. And at that moment, the divine Son of God came and united with human flesh in the womb of Mary, called the Incarnation. So, carne, flesh, being infused with divinity, and a mystery that we could never completely explain. Books and books, shelves of books, libraries of books have been written about it, and yet at the end, it still is a mystery, but it is a truth that we say, that divinity is united with humanity in the person of Jesus.
And it really is the basis of our call to holiness. Pro-sanctity means pro-holiness, and one of the things we need to pursue is this understanding of what does it mean and how can it possibly be that we are called to be saint? And the Incarnation is the foundation of our call to holiness, isn't it, Father? That at the very basis, it's because God became man so that man could become
God,
could be divinized, could be made holy, could be restored to that original dignity that God had for us in his mind and his heart from all eternity.
And while it's, again, a mystery, and so we're a little limited with our language, we have to be careful to say we become God. It isn't that we become God where we replace God, but we are so intimately united to God that we become so godlike that the early church fathers had used that term divinized, glorified, and transfigured, all of those images that we will be so intimately united that our person, created in the image and likeness of God, will be inflamed with that divinity, and it just is wonderful. Look forward to that.
That's right. And the Western world, later on, we used word sanctified, and we pause often to recall that that sanctification happens through the gift and the sacrament of baptism, that we're plunged into the waters of Christ's death and resurrection in order that we might be lifted up, glorified with him, one with him. So as St. Paul would say so often in his writings, no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The incarnation is that opportunity, that gift that God gave us by sending his only son, that we might become really what we were called to be. When when the Father looks upon us, he sees only one person. He sees his son, Jesus. So how does that translate into our daily life? What does it mean to be another Christ? What does it mean to be with Christ there? Are you laying in the manger? Am I laying in the manger? Is that what it means to be incarnate, to be one with the incarnation? Is that what our holiness is all about, walking through the life of Christ? Or explain to me, Father, I feel confused.
That we do carry Christ, and we do need to imitate our master, Christ, but yet we are each created unique and individual and unrepeatable. And so we will be Christ in a unique way by living out the Father's will, by being what is that eternal and beautiful image that God the Father had for all of us since the beginning. And it happened to us at the moment of our own conception, as God put that image and his own image and likeness into our souls, that there was a destiny for us to mm-hmm. be, to live into that holiness. And the being holy, living out this call to holiness, is being Christ-like and bringing that into the world.
And I think the first step is very well put, thank you, because the first step is putting on Christ, literally putting on the mind, the heart, the hands, the lifestyle of Christ. So starting off in this new year, as we're moving in from Christmas season into the new year, what a wonderful opportunity to reassess our prayer life, our daily meditations on the scripture, our Lectio Divina, the opportunity for our children to hear the Word of God, for example, on a daily basis, to hear it, to ponder it, to respond to it. Because the more we put on the mind of Christ, the more we actualize the gifts that we've received at baptism. The more we actualize that person and face, and that figure of Christ within us. So that the day-to-day growth comes. As I come to know the Lord, I also come to know myself. Man is revealed to man through Christ, said Pope John Paul II, the beginning of his very, very first encyclical as he began his papacy. Venerable Pope John Paul II, excuse
venerable
me.
Now.
Venerable. And that was that man is revealed to man through the person of Jesus Christ, that we come to know ourselves in Jesus. The more we put him on, the more we know his word, the more that word becomes our word, becomes my word, the more I live out the reality that I was born for, that I am called to be. I'm called to be another Christ. I'm called to be Jesus in the world. The incarnation wasn't meant for Jesus to, one of our quotes that we often like to quote from Pope, our Bishop, Bishop Guglielmo Giaquinta, the founder of Pro Sanctity, is that the Lord did not become man, put his fingers over his nose so he wouldn't have to smell us, so to speak, and walk through us daintily so as not to be tainted by our humanity. No, he loves our humanity. He wants to become part of our humanity, and he wants us to become part of his divinity. So that beautiful communion that happens between man and God, between men and women, between children and families, between all ages and the Lord himself, that we become one with the one who created us. One with Jesus. We find Jesus to be our model, but also our friend, our spouse, the one to whom we commit ourselves and become one with in communion, in intimacy. Does that make sense?
And as there is that similarity, to be able to say we need to become Christ-like, that there is also that uniqueness and individuality that each of us brings to. So as each of us would come to what God had offered to us to know Christ 2,000 years later through the scriptures, especially the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as each one of us would read one of those gospels, we should respond in a similar way and in a unique way, and that we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us through that. But it will look like something if we had lived a normal life, a regular life, that to then put on Christ, put on the mind of Christ, to see through the lens of Christ, looks different than anything, and better and more attractive and more filled with light and life and peace and all those blessings of God.
I would encourage our listeners, as I want to do myself, is spend a little time during this Christmas season pondering the crib, pondering the incarnation that came into the very reality of who we are, into the very on the earth in a crib with cattle, with sheep, with shepherds. The whole shebang, the whole kit and caboodle is all about who we are. Humanity at its finest. The good, the bad, the ugly. Jesus came to be right in within it. He didn't want to be separated from it. He wanted to be part of it. He wanted to be laid in a manger, in a simple place of sleeping. Warm, kept warm. His mother close by. Father right behind her. Those are normal images. Maybe the manger with the straw isn't something that we can identify with much today, but in the past you could. And anybody coming from the farm knows that's a warm place to be. That's not odd. That's actually very normal. Certainly not the King of Kings to be laid in a manger. So we pause to wonder that the God of all creation allowed himself to become so much a part of us that he even took on the simplest ways of living to be placed in a manger. Just to pause and during this holy, holy season and ponder how much God loves us. It's an incredible love. It's a maximum love. It's he went all the way kind of love. To pause and ponder, and with St. Paul, to say to yourself during this holy season, Jesus became man for me. He dwelt among us for me. It's a very personal invitation to enter into the incarnation in such a way that I know that the Lord wanted to reach me and find me. Just as we spend time seeking God, it's in reality God who seeks me, who seeks you, seeks each one of us individually to call us to himself, to his heart, to his love, to be embraced by him, to be one with him. To be, as you just mentioned, to be one in his actions and in his directions and in how we responded to daily life, as we find in the scriptures, as we find in our ordinary life, we find the Christ-likeness if we will pause and pay attention to that spirit that moves within us. The baptism that we received, most of us, those who are baptized that are listening, we know that we've received all the gifts and graces that we needed to be Christ-like. Is that not true, Father? That we have within us the potential for the fullness of God's likeness. However, we have to take advantage of it. We have to use it.
We have to cooperate with those graces that are available in baptism and the other sacraments. And through all the graces that God provides through the church and even outside of the church, God is calling everyone. And that's where not only to rejoice in God's own loving us and loving each one of us so much that he sent his only son, but loving everyone. Mm. And again, in that scene of poverty, of simplicity, but of warmth and love, that no one is outside of that circle, that Christ came in such a way that no one could say, that even Jesus doesn't know my experience. I'm so poor. I'm so away. I'm so hurting. Christ came to experience everything except that actual sin, but he knows temptation. He knows being downtrodden, but he knows great joy and he knows blessings of the family. And so that he gives us that goal to work for, to want to be like him, to want to imitate him and to follow him, to look upon him. You know, as the shepherds, probably when they came, they couldn't take their eyes off mm-hmm. of that little baby. Mm-hmm. You know, even as they were walking away, they were looking back over their shoulder in amazement. The three kings, you know, bringing their own gifts. But then as they were riding away, looking back over their shoulder. And so while they gave great gifts and we, you know, if we have those resources to give those gifts, to God and to the church and to charity, this time of great giving. But if we don't have anything, we can still put something in that present box, and that is our own heart, our own love, our own commitment to be more like that little child, Jesus, and to be like that man, Jesus, and to in his public life, in his teaching, as he walked and talked and went through the world, and that ultimate sacrifice he gave. But we have that hope of being united with him in that resurrection for all eternity.
And it's so true that we often think of ourselves as too little, as so ungodlike, that there's no way that we can become saints. Oh my gosh, I can't even follow the Lord. You know, we really don't have a high esteem of our capacity. We really don't have an awareness of the potential that we have for greatness. Pope John Paul II, again at the beginning of the new millennium, said that we are all called to an ordinary greatness. Isn't that a great line? An ordinary greatness. We're not called to mediocrity. We're not called to half measure, because we have the fullness of potential to be another Christ, to be one with Christ's potential. And my favorite saint, Saint Therese of Lisieux, third woman doctor of the church, let's not forget her status at this point, and Pope John Paul II raised her up to a doctor of the church, and she is the third woman doctor of the church. When she was young, she thought of herself as very weak. She was very sensitive, hypersensitive, many would say. Her mother called her a little imp. She said, I don't know what's going to become of that child. Well, that little child became third woman doctor of the church. But how did she do it? Well, Therese of Lisieux, in a very real way, took advantage of the gifts and graces of the Incarnation. And her conversion story, as she herself writes in The Story of the Soul, which is her little journal that... when she wrote it, it was not meant for public eyes, but it has been produced in millions and millions of copies that have gone around the world. Her little story of the soul tells how at one Christmas, when she was probably around 12 years of age, she, her dad, a sister, and probably a cousin, if I'm not mistaken, were going off to midnight mass. Beautiful ceremony, beautiful celebration of the liturgy. Late, obviously, midnight, 1 o'clock, who knows? Maybe they came in at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Tired, long night, long day. And as they're coming in, Therese, little girl that she still is all excited because on the hearth she can see from the door are the shoes filled with goodies. That was their tradition. Could be oranges, could be little gifts, little sweets. She was so excited. And being the youngest, she would be the one to pick up the boots or the shoes and to distribute all the little goodies, and she herself would be the first to receive them. Behind her, her father is following, sees the excitement of his daughter, and says to Celine, Therese's older sister, Celine, when is she going to grow up? Now, Celine knew how sensitive, how hypersensitive Therese was. And if she heard that and she could see by her face the color had changed, she had heard that statement. And being so sensitive, perhaps that would just cause her to burst into tears. Because in the past, that's what would have happened. She would have burst into tears. So Celine quickly moved ahead, went to Therese and said, Therese, don't worry. Go up to your room. Take a moment. Daddy didn't mean that. He's just tired. It was a long day and it's early in the morning. But Therese paused. She paused. And she, in her heart, said a prayer. And this is her prayer, Father. It's a beautiful prayer, and I'd like us to close with this. This is the prayer where she found her strength. Jesus, the sweet little child of 1 hour, changed the night of my soul into torrents of light. On this night, when he became weak and suffering for love of me, he made me strong and courageous. He clothed me with his armor, and since that blessed night, in no battle have I been defeated. But on the contrary, I marched from victory to victory and commenced, so to speak, a course of a giant. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, sometimes called, from her story of the soul. She moved from victory to victory, using the gifts and graces won for her through the Incarnation. God became man so that we might become one with God and walk with him as a giant. This is the symbol of the saints. This is the symbol of those who went from victory to victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, could you close us with a blessing and let us ponder in this holy season the incarnation, God, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us.
And dedicate this upcoming year of 2010 to be more Christ-like each and every day.
Amen.
And with Mary and all the saints, and have them in our company. And so we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Son, and we can't ever repay such a great gift, that may we conform our lives to that of your Son, to the Son of Mary, and in that to tell you how much we love you, how much we are thankful for everything that you do for us. And Jesus, we tell you we love you, and may we follow you, keep our eyes on you every moment of every day during these days and this new year and forever. Mary, continue to wrap your mantle around us and lead us and guide us, protect us as your children. And we ask for the intercession of all the saints to help us to, in that victory to victory, to be on the course of giants, to fight against evil, and to bring that love and that light and that life of Christ into the world. And in that, that we carry the hope of everlasting life. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Holiness Helpers, and we will be with you next week.
God bless you. Thank you, Father. Amen.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the ProSanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The ProSanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.